Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 325, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart, and what follows Psalter 325, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Proverbs 30, the verses 1 through 16. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Proverbs 30, the first 16 verses. The words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy the man spake unto Ethiel, even unto Ethiel in Ugal. As surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee, and thou be found guilty. There is a generation that curseth their father, and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. The horse leecheth to daughters, crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things say not, it is enough. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord, when it has pleased thee to gather us and our children for the second time on this holy day of rest, and we attempt to open our unclean lips to draw nigh unto thee, all our blessings, our needs, desires, troubles, trials, and with our sins, then how needful to pray with the disciples of old, Lord, teach us to pray, to be given profound impressions unto whom we speak, where thou hast our breath, our heartbeat, in thy hand, thou who we have sinned against in words, thoughts, and deeds, then it is so necessary that we feel and understand our needs aright, temporal, but also spiritual, a deep sense of our unworthiness, but yet with our eyes upon thee, that thou art exceeding abundantly able to even give in this evening hour more than we ask or think, and that it is only possible through thy dear Son. Then thou knowest when we have come up to thy house what our petitions have been. May there have been special petitions, and may it please thee to answer them, to gladden with thy voice, and to gladden with thy deeds. Then by renewal thou wast granted another soul's mark a day. Thou grantest this precious time of grace unto us and our children to be converted. Wilt thou bind the solemnity, the seriousness, the shortness of life upon all of our hearts, upon the hearts of young and old, the certainty of death, of judgment, and eternity, O Lord. Wilt thou impress profoundly upon all of our hearts that we must die and that we shall die, and death is to appear before thee, and that shall be so terrible to have to appear before thee with our sins. But Lord, Thou art still gathering thy church. May it please thee to do it in this evening hour, when by renewal we gather at the foot of Mount Sinai to hear the last commandment. May it be shot as an arrow into the hearts of the king's enemies. May thy law be used as a schoolmaster to bring to Christ. And then in the part of gratitude, to be directed to the holy law of God, to be our guide. Wilt thou add thy gracious blessing? Do bless all the means of grace, the manifold means of grace, the family circles, help fathers and mothers. By renewal we commend those parents who have presented their little child before thee to receive the sign and the seal of the covenant. Bind the matter upon the heart. Bless the labors in the church. Do continue to help the consistory to that end. Thou wast not called angels, but the Son of Man. Bless the labors on the Lord's day. Bless the instruction to the youth, the visitations. It all awaits for thy blessing. Do bless thy holy word in our Christian school. Then in the day of tomorrow, after a week of rest, may it have been for some rest, for some refreshment, for teachers and students, help the bus drivers, and all those that labor in our school. We commend thy church unto thee all over the earth, the established churches, those that are persecuted for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, who are denied the free access to the means of grace. We commend unto thee the Jewish people, persecuted, scattered over the earth, much enmity. May the veil be taken away. Mission work. Remember the people in Bolivia, the people in Peru. Wilt thou bless thy word, and wilt thou graciously provide that a heart may be inclined. Remember Bible translators, those that bring thy word to the ends of the earth. We commend unto thee the nations of the earth, also our poor nation. We commend unto thee our community. May it please thee to work by thy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. Remember all the temporal needs. Continue to provide the daily bread for our family circles. Help fathers to that end. And remember the mothers in the home with the children. We commend unto thee widowers, widows, half orphans, those that have brought children and dear ones to the grave. Continue to uphold, grant courage, and sanctify. We remember the elderly ones in the evening of their life, our Bethesda, the residents, those that care for them. We commend unto thee a husband and wife, who in the middle of this week hope to commemorate that for 59 years they may walk together on life's pathway in holy matrimony. Lord, above all things, may it please thee to save their never-dying souls. Grant an impression on their special day, something of thy goodness and of thy long-suffering. Remember the sick and afflicted ones undergoing treatments, difficulties of the body, many fears and many concerns, and remember the difficulties of the mind with those that are near and dear unto them, times overwhelmed at their wits' end. O Lord, may it please thee to remember and to deliver. Remember the burdens, the crosses, the scars. And now, Lord, once more in this evening, then we humbly ask thee for thy gracious help and thy blessing upon thy word. Ah, do remember us and our dear children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. To that end, may it please thee to crown thy word with thy richest blessing for the coming of thy kingdom, the glorification of thy name. Pardon us of all of our sins for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 38, the five stanzas. A Jehovah's perfect law restores the soul again. His testimony sure give wisdom unto men. The precepts of the Lord are right and fill the heart with great delight. And what follows, Psalter 38, the five stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for Lord's Day 44, the question and answer 113. What doth the 10th commandment require of us? Answer, that even the smallest inclination or thought contrary to any of God's commandments never rise in our hearts, but that at all times we hate all sin with our whole heart and delight in all righteousness. Lord's Day 44, question and answer 113. The 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. With three thoughts. First, desiring lawful things sinfully. Secondly, coveting unlawful things or sinful things. And then in the third place, delighting in all righteousness. The 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, desiring lawful things sinfully, coveting unlawful things, and delighting in all righteousness. Beloved congregation, we have read together out of Proverbs 30 of Agur, who was on the school of grace. And then he has expressed, surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. Then it is clear that Agur did not have such high thoughts of himself. And that is a clear mark of grace. And he has expressed that he was not such a good learner. I neither learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. Thus he was given to see that there seemed to be a people he esteemed his brother higher than himself, of the holy, and therein he was given to express that he was not so holy. And then his thoughts, they have went upwards concerning the great God of heaven and of earth, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended, who hath gathered the wind in his fists, who hath bound the waters in a garment, who hath established all the ends of the earth. What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Then Agur has already learned much. And then in verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. But now Agur had a very special request. Boys and girls, you have heard what the request of Agur was. then he is not asked two things. Have I required of thee? Deny be thou not before I die. Agur believed that he had to die. And Agur, this evident in his request, that Agur believed that he could take nothing along. We know it with our mind. But now to believe it with our heart. And now Agur is asked not to become too rich and not too poor. Might seem like a strange request, but Agur has learned much of his heart. Because if the Lord would make him too rich, to deny the Lord, not need the Lord, not be dependent upon the Lord, take everything in my own hands. And if he was too poor, that perhaps he would be tempted to steal. Agur has asked for food convenient for him, what the Lord thought best. Oh, then although Agur, he has expressed that he had not so much understanding, he has already learned much. Sometime it is expressed, we live in a time of prosperity, and it is a danger. Become proud, not so dependent, we still pray. But when we have everything in our own hands, we have sufficient, we can control, that we forget the Lord, and that in our prosperity, that we are so taken up with the earthly things, that we have not so many thoughts, not even so much time, of course the lack of desire, to think of our never-dying soul. And then the thought can arise, if I was now poor, then it would be better and different. But poverty and afflictions also have many dangers in earlier days than it could be that fathers and mothers were so busy and so concerned even to feed their household that it took most all of their time and their energy in countries where there is much unemployment and much poverty. Many fathers turn to alcohol. Thus a fitting prayer of Agur, neither prosperity and riches nor poverty. And now we have come to the 10th commandment, and the instructors in their explanation, then it is clear that they go further and deeper than the 10th commandment, because when there is asked what doth the 10th commandment require of us, that even the smallest inclination or thought contrary to any of God's commandments never rise up in her heart. The 10th commandment that speaks of coveting. Many times a negative connotation But when we look in a theoros, then it can mean crave, desire, long for, lust after, yearn after in the dictionary, to desire eagerly something that belongs to an other. The Lord has created us with desires, privilege, a blessing. We remember those that struggle with no desire, deep in trying ways, discouraged, depressed, together with their loved ones. But now the 10th commandment that concerns desiring aright according to the instruction given in God's holy word. And then there is a difference, if we think of the 10th commandment, to covet, of course, in the wrong way, but it can be in Christ. In his parables, think of Matthew 25, of those that have received 5 talents, 2 and 1, and they have traded with their talents to increase. Matthew 13, parable of one that was trading in goodly pearls. Thus, that means that it is not wrong, to give an example, a family circle with children where the house is actually becoming too small, to desire another house, to ask a neighbor whether they would be willing to sell. And then, boys and girls, when we read in this commandment an ox or an ass, in our day, we could say our neighbor's tractor or car or truck. But now our first point, desiring lawful things as sinfully. And then this commandment is also very broad. And we hope to hear what our instructors have stated when we come to the end of the law. Then our first point, desiring lawful things unlawfully, that includes dissatisfaction with our lot. And that does not mean when sometimes people unburden their heart with their trials and with their difficulties, then many times people call everything complaining. But that does not have to be the case. We read of the psalmist, he has poured out his complaint before the Lord. But when it leads to dissatisfaction, to murmuring, think of the children of Israel in the wilderness concerning the manna which the Lord has given so faithfully, then they began to murmur. It includes unthankfulness. Read in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Oh, what a sin the time of plenty does not mean that our families are not struggling. There are no struggling families. Cost a lot to raise a family, but is it not our great sin that we take so much for granted that we consider not what we deserve? Then further, when we demand, think of Rachel in Genesis 30, a desire to be blessed with children. That is a created desire. It was not a wrong desire. But then how unadvisably she has spoken to her husband. Give me children, else I die. Further, impatient, when the Lord withholds blessings for a certain time, when we envy our neighbor, that God-fearing Asaph had trouble therewith, the world, the wicked, not many or any troubles, and he had troubles every morning by renewal. Greed, when we desire more, slot, Laban, when we use unlawful means to obtain, think of King Ahab, it's true. It was the doing of Jezebel to send letters to obtain false witnesses that Naboth was stoned. Can even be that we are so distressed, Ahab, when he may not have the vineyard of Naboth, he laid on his bed as a little sulking child. Concerning this first point, Thomas Watson, and then he has mentioned a few thoughts concerning our earthly goods, and they are precious gifts that we may enjoy, that we may desire. But then Thomas Watson, then he has made a separation concerning our desires, about our desires and our thoughts, whether they all center around the things here below. Secondly, that we take more pain for the earthly things than to receive a place in heaven like Esau when he sold his birthright. When our discourses and our meditations are all upon the world, and that we even use unlawful means as an Achan, desiring lawful things sinfully. Then how necessary that we are given to ask the Lord much, that he may teach us, that he may guide us, that our desires may be aright, that we may use the gifts which the Lord entrusts unto us, that we are good stewards. Concerning our first point, that does not mean that we may not use lawful means to obtain what we desire. Lord has not only appointed the end, but also the means. But that it is prayerfully asking the Lord for his will, but please us not to give, to grant submission, does not mean that we must be a stoic without emotions, because the Lord grants good desires. And then how necessary, how precious the instruction of Agur, Paul. He has written to the church in Philippians 4 verse 11, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." And then in verse 7, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out by renewal, young and old." Not to misunderstand, the Lord granteth desires, especially to our young people. And it is a blessing when the Lord grants courage and strength, when we may use lawful means to obtain that end prayerfully, but also to examine why we desire the same. Is it all for self, for me? Or is there also something for our neighbor and for God? Because the Ten Commandments, they speak to two tables, to love God above all and our neighbor as ourself. When we think of that text, to be content, then of course, spiritually, we may never be content to be unconverted. That is such an awful and a terrible state. Without God, without Christ, without hope. And when the Lord begins, of course, Zechariah 4 verse 10, "Not to despise the day of small things, many a soul have brought darkness upon them, but not to be content with the beginning." Because the church learns by the teaching of the Spirit, by a deeper uncovering, by the preaching of the law, what sinners they are. For God's people, not to be content with a sanctification that is not so earnest and that does not arouse to a holy jealousy, the instructors in our catechism, they have used the expression "more and more." Our second thought, coveting unlawful things, written in the 10th commandment, not to covet our neighbor's wife. All understand, wrong, very sinful. And now when the instructors, when they have spoken of this commandment, that even the smallest inclination in thought, the former commandments, thoughts not excluded, but words and deeds, but now the instructors, they come to the heart and to the thoughts, thus a deeper uncovering, to make it simple for our boys and girls. If you now feel very sick and you have terrible pain, and your parents take you to the doctor or to the hospital, and the doctor looks you over, and the doctor says, "I do not see anything wrong with you," then I think that you're going to tell the doctor, "But oh, doctor, I have such a pain, so there must be something wrong. Maybe I'm even going to die." And what does the doctor then many times do? An X-ray, a CAT scan, an MIR, that he can see inside your body whether there is something wrong. And so we may see this Lord's Day that it looks into the heart, into our mind, and then that even the smallest inclination or thought contrary to any of God's commandment does never rise in our heart. Thus a deeper uncovering. Must never think that does not make so much difference how we live. Maybe sometime the thought can even arise, "I'm unconverted anyway, so it does not make so much difference whether I sin more or less, give in to temptation." But that is not biblical. Let us remember that the Lord is perfectly just, and he shall never punish us for sins which we have not committed. There's a blessing on personally, family, church, and also in a country, alas, our nation has departed so long, but that the Lord keeps us from hardening our heart, being let loose to commit great sins. But now in this Lord's Day, then it goes deeper. Ah, this Lord's Day, we would say for the Pharisee, that is, thank God in Luke 18 that he was not as other men, even as that publican in the back of the temple. But now, never rise in the heart even the smallest inclination or thought contrary to any of God's commandment. When we think of temptation, when temptation comes to us, is that now our sin? No. Christ, temptation has also come, but it becomes our sin when we start to ponder, desire it, think of it, and finally give in. Thus, not any, even the smallest inclination, contrary to any of God's commandments in our congregation, by renewal at the foot of Mount Sinai. And then oftentimes we have heard how guilty we are, but now further uncovering, and then the instructors first speak of the negative aspect, but now in our third thought, the positive, to make it clear for our boys and girls. When we have a garden, then it has to be prepared, all the weeds pulled out, also the roots, because otherwise they soon come up. But then that garden also needs to be seeded with vegetables and with flowers. And to that end, the instructors have added, never rise in our hearts, but that at all times we hate all sin with our whole heart and delight in all righteousness. That is our third thought. Let us first sing Psalter 435, the stanza 6, 8, and 9. Honor thy father and thy mother, so that thy God who lives for aye, bless all thy efforts with his favor, prolong thy life from day to day, and what follows. 435, 6, 8, and 9. The 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. Desiring lawful things sinfully, coveting unlawful things, and now thirdly, delighting in all righteousness. But that at all times we hate all sin with our whole heart and delight in all righteousness, speaks of the mortification of the old man, the quickening of the new man. What is the mortification of the old man? Answer, it is a sincere sorrow of heart that we have provoked God by our sins, and more to hate and flee from them. The quickening of the new man, it is a sincere joy of heart in God through Christ, and with love and delight to live according to the will of God in all good works. In answer 113, we read that word all three times. All times, all sin, it's with our whole heart, and delight in all righteousness. That is the requirement and demand of God's holy law. And our congregation, then we do well to turn unto ourselves the way of uncovering, and for God's people in the way of gratitude. Then how has it been? And how is it in this evening hour when we have come to the last commandment? I hope that you are not like a Galileo. As Galileo has said, he cared for none of these things. That we are careless, that we are profane. We are traveling to eternity to meet our Maker. And our sins, they shall rise up against us in judgment. For God's people here in the time, and for the unconverted at the end, I hope, when we have heard the explanation of the 10th commandment, that perhaps we think that we are not so guilty. By renewal, a privilege and a blessing, when the Lord restrains us that we do not live out what lives in our heart. Blessing. When the Lord restrains us. But if we would have the thought that we are not so guilty, that is on account of our darkened understanding. Or perhaps that we do not judge yourself as God's word as our touchstone, but that we compare ourselves to other people, to the world. Then in the next place, then it can be that with the preaching of the law, that we have become very discouraged, that we have to say, Lord, each commandment, I have heard it. My guilt, my sins, thou requires perfection, and that we become very discouraged, more or less that we give up. But you know, congregation, that is not a solution either, because we shall have to appear before our judge concerning the law of God. And I read in Luke 12, verse 48, unto whosoever much is given, much is required. Maybe sometime the thought arises, young people, maybe it would have been better that I was born a heathen. Then my responsibility would not be so great, but you know it. That is not a solution either, because heathens also must appear before the Lord. Oh, what a privilege and what a blessing that we may be under the Word of God, and where the Spirit is promised to use His Word. Then this Lord's Day, then we think of the Pharisee, that rich young ruler that was concerned, that has come to Jesus concerning to be saved. And then Jesus has mentioned commandments of the second table. And he said, I have kept all these from my youth. Outwardly, that is even a question, because surely, even outwardly, slips and falls. And then Jesus has come with one more requirement. Sell everything that thou hast and give to the poor. And then he went away sad. And we do not read that he returned. Thus a commandment for rich young rulers, Pharisees, that have become proud of who they are, who they remain. For God's people, further explained in this Lord's Day, then how is it with the church? When they have heard all shortcoming, the explanation of the Ten Commandments, how ashamed and how guilty, the most guilty. Because for the child of God, after receiving such mercy, and even in the further leadings, pardoning, revelation, application, and then after so much mercy, then still to sin. Against such mercy and against light. But now I read in Zechariah 9, verse 9, behold, and that is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to Jerusalem to suffer and to die. And then there was that command for those daughters of Jerusalem Ah, those true daughters, they are the ones that are born again with those new and living desires. They are the daughters that are given to weep, to confess their sins. Because for happy people, then we do not cry unto them to rejoice. There was room for that exhortation. Rejoice, O daughter of Jerusalem, shout. Thy daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, being just and having salvation. Oh, for a people that learns, transgressors, and with all their efforts, a transgressor still, where it becomes so hopeless, a hopeless case, a lost, a hell-worthy sinner. Oh, then what a precious message from our side. 'Tis eternally lost. Oh, what a poor doctrine. What a distressing doctrine. When people are told that they have to work out, they have to believe, it's commanded in the Bible, to repent and believe. But no place in the scriptures do we read that man is enabled of himself. And that is now the wonder, free and sovereign grace. Oh, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He cometh unto us in the proclamation of his holy word. He is coming this morning with the sacrament of holy baptism, where that water points to the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, being just. He is just, so just, not one sin can be overlooked. But he is, the prophet has declared, and having salvation, his name has been called Jesus because he has come to save his people from their sins, young and old. Where is our journey to? By renewal. We have come to the 10th commandment. There are those that have heard the 10th commandment explained the last time, and they are no more. And now the purpose of the law to uncover, that is now the work of the Spirit, to uncover sinners deeper and deeper. Oh, we have heard it, the demand. 'Tis so clear that even the smallest inclination in thought, contrary to any of God's commandments, never rise in our hearts, but that at all times we hate all sin with our whole heart, and delight in all righteousness. And that is now the work of the Spirit to grant to his church a small beginning, young and old. Where is our journey to? Two ways, two peoples, and two destinations. Oh, we read in Psalm 119, verse 96, that the law of God is exceeding broad. And then in verse 97, oh, how I love thy law, and now the Lord as a people that has learned to love the law. They have learned that they cannot keep the law. And they need that king that has come to Jerusalem having salvation, who has fulfilled the law and who has taken the sins of his people upon him, who has satisfied justice. We read in Psalm 130, the verses 3 and 4, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. That is now the hope for us and our children, but young and old, needs to be experienced. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. Amen. Lord, may it please thee to grant the application. By renewal we have heard it, that we are all guilty, that we are very guilty, and in thy righteousness thou demands a perfect keeping of the law. Ach, Lord, may it please thee to use it. May it have been used, that this one, that one, a younger one, an older one, that there were times, may it be in this evening hour, so guilty, so sinful, so lost. To seek out a secret place with that publican. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, may still be proclaimed that king, that he has come, being just and having salvation. And then in the context, in the part of gratitude for thy people, so necessary each time to come in the guilt, confession, repentance, humility, and begging for that precious blood. Lord, remember us and our children, convert us, as thou hast converted all thy people. We humbly ask thee, wilt thou take none away in this week by the cold hand of death? Wilt thou graciously watch over each of us? Remember the mothers at home, at work. Remember the truck drivers on the road. Remember all on the road, construction sites. Remember at school, wherever we are called to be. Wilt thou grant some rest for our bodies and minds, and in the day of tomorrow, renewed strength, health, and courage to perform our labor, still a blessing, when thou grantest labors to do upon this earth. Wilt thou grant a prayer for one another, O Lord. Do remember us and our dear children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Wilt thou now bring us safely to our dwellings. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 364, the four stanzas. From out the depths I cry to thee, O let thy ear attentive be, hear thou my supplicating plea, have mercy, Lord. And what follows, Psalter 364, the four stanzas. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.